This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I am joined, as always, by Pat Fitzmaurice at Fitz_FF on the Twitter machine. We are at the tail end of the draft as we're recording this. It has been a long 3 days, Fitzy. Lots to talk about, obviously, with the draft and the impact and the rookies and the landing spots. But how are you feeling after 3 days of draft madness here?
In a word, Boggs, spent, but in a good yes. In a good way. Yeah, we were talking about this. I mean, 3 days, I think I've written like 50 rapid fantasy reaction blurbs for skill players coming off the board, how they're going to fit, where they should go in dynasty drafts. I'm exhausted, but yeah, man, it's been a lot of fun. A lot of surprises. I think your Pittsburgh Steelers have killed it, and in no small part because they've drafted two Wisconsin Badgers. And, you know, Packers GM drafted Sean Clifford in the fifth round. Obviously, he still doesn't know what the hell he's doing. So, you know, what are you going to do?
That was weird. Yeah, I was on the In This League Twitch, you know, streaming during it, and I had, you know, CK is a Packers guy. And as soon as they drafted Sean Clifford, you know, he wasn't there for day three. I text him and I was like, what are they doing? He's like, I have no idea. Like, my only thought could be maybe Taysom Hill, right? Like, that's what you want to do with them, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. I guess maybe he's a mobile QB like Jordan Love. So you get a, you know, a QB to back up like the QB you have. I don't know. I didn't understand. Felt like Danny Etling going to the Patriots. Yes. Who the is the only other QB on the Packers roster right now. Clifford and Love and Etling. So weird pick for sure.
Yeah, if the Rose Bowl was the only film that Gutekunst watched on Sean Clifford, I guess you could be tricked into thinking he could be an NFL backup. But yeah, kind of inexplicable. But it doesn't matter for the purposes of this show, Bogman, because we are not going to be drafting Sean Clifford in not even in Superflex League. So
absolutely not. No way. I do want to remind you guys before we get into the meat here, just drop us a like, leave a comment, and subscribe on YouTube if you like our content. Click the bell to get notified for all the latest podcasts here at Fantasy Pros. And that'll update you on live streams and the shorter videos as well. So please, if you like our content, go ahead and do that for us. But Fitz, I mean, just your overall feel of this class for fantasy, because mine is not great.
No.
You know, we had a lot of running backs end up in weird positions, and we're going to go position by position, of course, here. But, you know, some of my favorite wide receivers, I mean, Hutchinson didn't even go till six, you know, and a lot of running backs landing in spots where there's already running backs, which is just not great. I think this draft might have been the best for QBs, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it, Boggs. Like, a year ago, we were salivating over what this draft class could potentially be. You know, Bijan, a lot of really promising quarterback prospects, some interesting wide receiver prospects, and, like, the tight ends. And really, by the end of it, I mean, it was like, yeah, some top end QB talent. Bijan, tight end class is really good, but man, so many of the running backs and wide receivers just they didn't pan out. We thought there was depth. You know, like if the landing spots had gone better, this could have been like an adequate rookie class for fantasy. But then, man, the landing spots in so many situations, and we'll get into the details here, but like they just didn't cooperate, or the draft capital didn't cooperate. And now, man, we're going to just be kind of staggering into these rookie drafts, Bogman, with like, okay, what am I going to do after round one? And for that matter, yeah, what am I going to do at the end of round one?
At the end of round one, yes, exactly. So, and this is, you know, we talked on our stages, which we do on the Fantasy Pros Discord every single Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. If you guys want to come on and talk with us about some fantasy football, please check that out. But, you know, we talked about it, and a lot of the times I was saying, let's just wait and see where these guys land, you know, because a lot of trades are, hey, would you trade 1.04 for 9 and 2 second rounders? I'm like, let's see where everybody lands. This is why. This is exactly why. Because, I mean, we didn't expect it to be as bad as this here. But I don't know, man. Some of these spots are rough. But let's talk about the tippy top of this board first before we get into position by position. Because there's only one player, I feel like, that you can already throw into the top end of you know, regular startup drafts, and that is Bijan Robinson. And you know, going to Atlanta, while I know a lot of people don't like you know, the fit because their offense is somewhat stagnant a little bit, they don't have a good quarterback, right? There's a lot of little things there, but you know, Bijan, this team runs more than any other team by a wide margin, and they haven't upgraded their quarterback. It's going to be Desmond Ridder, or as our boy D-Bro called him, Desmond Mitter, you know, or Taylor Heineke at the helm here, assumingly, unless some weird trade happens before the season starts. But looks like that's what it's going to be. So they're going to rely heavy on Bijan. I know some people are afraid of Tyler Algier, but you don't spend the eighth overall pick in the NFL draft, in my opinion, somewhat of a crutch argument, I know, but you don't spend the eighth overall pick in the draft to take someone and not give him the ball a lot. So maybe Tyler Algier still has a role, but his role is significantly reduced with the Atlanta Falcons by them taking Bijan Robinson, and Robinson moves up. I mean, how high do you think you're going to have him? Obviously, the things are subject to change. This is instant reaction right now, but how high are you going to have Bijan? Not in a super flex. Let's just say in a regular dynasty league with one QB. How high is Bijan?
Oh, I mean, he's my running back one for dynasty, Boggs. Yeah. You know, and in like even in redraft leagues, I think he's going to be my running back three or four. You know, like he's I'm a little concerned that he's going to be going up against a lot of loaded boxes. You know, not a lot of reason mm-hmm. to play your safeties back when you're going up against Desmond Ridder. And, you know, Bijan is the bigger threat to do damage to you. And, you know, maybe not a lot of touchdown potential. It's hard to see Bijan. You know, I think there will be like 15 touchdown seasons in Bijan's future at some point. I don't see it happening this year. I think it'll be hard for him to get to double digits. I think he could get to double digits, but like, I don't think he's going to put up a splashy touchdown total in this offense yet. They got to get the QB right before Bijan achieves, you know, his maximum potential. But he's still going to be really good.
I think I got him for double digit touchdowns in year one. I think I would put him there. But we'll see. I mean, they have weapons in the red zone, so it's a good point to make, because sure, Bijan scored a bunch of touchdowns at Texas, and some of those are going to be from, you know, not the goal line and not even the red zone, right? But you know, you got Kyle Pitts, you have Drake London, so you know, there is going to be a little bit of a, you know, who is going to score it this time, but that's good for that offense. Like, this is what you do. I mean, the Niners kind of set the mold here to me. It, you know, if you don't have an upper echelon, you have Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, you know, you don't have a Lamar Jackson quarterback, then you have to surround your quarterback, who is a mid-level quarterback, whoever it is, with weapons on weapons on weapons on weapons on weapons. And that is what they're doing. They have the number one tight end from a draft class. They have the number one running back from a draft class. And they have the number one wide receiver from a draft class now. So, you know, the quarterback seems to be, they're like the Minnesota Vikings have been for years and years. They're a quarterback away, right, is what it seems like with Atlanta now that they have kind of fixed that defense as well. So going to be a fun team to watch. Here's the biggest question, I think. Who is the second prospect in Dynasty? Is it Jahmyr Gibbs? Is it Jordan Addison? Who are you taking second in this class?
In one QB leagues, Boggs, I think I'm taking Gibbs now.
Me too.
Especially with the way, okay, look, and we were talking about this at length on our Discord show on Friday. The Lions, terrible first round, I think. Maybe we had some issues with Gibbs going 12th overall. I certainly did. Or wait, was it 12th overall? It was 12th overall.
At 12th, yeah. Yep.
So, like, even if you don't like the pick, clearly the Lions are anxious to work him into their offense. And, you know, later in the draft on day three today, they trade away DeAndre Swift for, I joked about it on the Discord channel for, you know, someone offer the Lions a ham sandwich and I think they'll take it. The Eagles didn't offer much more than a ham sandwich, a fourth round pick in 2025, 2 years from now, and a swap of seventh round picks that moves the Lions up 30 picks in the final round of the draft. So not a lot to get DeAndre Swift, but now he's out of the way and it's Gibbs and Montgomery. And even though Gibbs is not going to be a 20 touch a game guy, but we don't want him to be, man. We want that Alvin Kamara early career usage where he probably doesn't carry it 200 times a season, but he's getting something close to 80 targets in his rookie season.
Yeah, that's really what you want. You want like the, you know, you want, okay, 7 to 10 carries, and you hope he gets 7 to 8 targets, right? Like, that's what you get. That puts it, you know, that puts you at maybe 15 touches a week if you're, you know, everything's clicking right. But also, specifically when Jameson Williams is suspended to start the season, this guy's going to play in the slot. He's going to be out, line up out as a wide receiver in multiple occasions, I'm sure. So I'm excited for him as a weapon. Yeah, not the best landing spot. Of course, we all would have liked to see him go to Cincinnati, right? Like, or Minnesota, or somewhere where it seems like a running back's going to get cut, or there's some playing time, or, you know, just an open spot. And there's not. I mean, David Montgomery is going to lead that team in carries, I would assume. He would have to perform very poorly, especially now that DeAndre Swift's out of the picture. To not do that, but
we knew he was going to have platoon partner.
He's number two, but he's number two with like a because I have to, not like a hey, yes, Gibbs landed in this great spot, and you know, just the rest of this draft class kind of left a little to be desired. Sure. How close is it between Gibbs and who's your third? Is it Addison or is it JSN still?
It's JSN still. And we can talk about the wide receiver, the ordering. Like JSN, I haven't really wavered on the next three guys, the other three first round wide receivers. Like that's tricky. I mean, you could pretty much talk me into ordering those three guys any which way, and I'd you know maybe buy your case no matter what. But yeah, like I actually think it's kind of a not like a huge gap, but I think there's like no question between Gibbs and any of those wide receivers now. And Boggs, like, I don't think there was any question that Gibbs was going to have some sort of platoon partner. You know what I mean? Like he was not going to be a 20 touch a game guy no matter where he went. So I don't dislike the Lions landing spot at all. They've got a pretty good offensive line. I like the play caller, Ben Johnson. I sort of like the direction of the team. I mean, they're, maybe like, I don't know, they're good enough that they're going to have some run-friendly game situations, but not so good that they're, you know, not going to want to dump off at any point. They're probably going to be games where they're playing catch-up, and maybe Gibbs does the same. That's kind of where DeAndre Swift got a lot of his value from. The Lions would be down, and they'd go into catch-up mode, and they'd be dumping off to Swift like, you know, three or four times a drive.
And that's why he lost so much this year, because they were winning.
Right.
So bring in the closer. Right. Bring in Mariano Rivera. It's Jamal Williams to come in here and score another touchdown to cap it off. Yeah. So the offense is different now for sure. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Before we move on into the position battles here, I got to remind you guys about Reality Sports Online. And now most of you probably heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy teams like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Think it sounds complicated? It is not. The only thing that Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office requires is more strategy. That's it. It doesn't take any more time than a standard league at all. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is a platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test out your general manager skills for free, FREE, at Reality Sports Online with a free mock. Go ahead and check that out. If you like what you see, use the code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. All right, Fitzy, I'll let you choose. You want to go running backs? You want to go wide receivers? Do you want to start at QBs or tight ends to get them out of the way? You tell me. Where do we want to go?
Let's go QBs first, Boggs.
All right. Let's knock the QBs out first. And I mean, to me, and I think you and I talked a little bit about this, it's Anthony Richardson at the top, ending up with the number 4 overall pick to the Indianapolis Colts. Bryce Young at 2. C.J. Stroud at 3. Is that correct? Are you in that same order?
I have Anthony Richardson number 1, and I'm very close on Stroud Young, but I've got Stroud higher.
Okay, so you got Stroud just a little bit higher than Bryce Young. All right, tell me why Stroud is a little bit higher than Young.
Only difference is size. I'm worried about Young's ability to hold up, and I know he's can move around in the pocket. I think Stroud has more of an NFL caliber arm. Young's got enough arm, but it's not an extraordinary arm. Whereas Stroud, I think, I'm impressed. He's definitely got a big league arm, and he's so accurate, man. And I love Boggs that, there were some of the knocks on these quarterbacks coming into the draft process. It's funny that some people, Richardson, Daniel Jeremiah in his last mock had Richardson falling to the bottom of the first round. And I was just thinking, there's no way a dude with this arm strength who recorded a perfect 10 relative athletic score at the combine and just tested like Superman. There is no freaking way that teams are going to let this guy slide to the bottom of the first round. And Boggs, I made a ton of pre-draft bets. Not a lot of money, but just a lot of small bets. I mean, right. I probably had 60 bets down. I basically broke even on those bets, and I would have I would have gotten cleaned out if not for the bets I made on Richardson under, on draft day morning. He was his over under on when he was going to get picked was 7.5. And I slammed the under, man. I knew that
I didn't make many bets because, a general manager day before the draft said this is going to be the most unpredictable draft that we've ever seen. And it was. He was absolutely correct. I mean, some of it was predictable. And the knocking on Stroud leading up in the process about the S2 cognition test, there were two things about that. Number one, you're just going to wipe out 3 years of production and all the rest of the good stuff that he has done in the pre-draft process because of one test, right? And I understand that a lot of teams think that this is an important test, but then why even watch the film, right? If everything, relies on this test, then just have them all take the test and take your quarterback from Harvard, right? I just don't understand any of that. It felt like a big smokescreen from Houston.
And it was,
right? Trying to get him to fall, I guess, maybe to 12. And then, I don't know. It was just a very weird situation to me.
Yeah, and we talked about what's more convincing, the S2 test or the test of facing the Georgia defense in the college football playoffs and throwing for 340 yards and 4 touchdowns against the best defense in college football.
That whole defense was drafted, too, all to the Eagles. So, it's just, yeah, to me, that was a little goofy. We did see Will Levis fall a ton. Will Levis fell and fell and fell. So I'm assuming after that, who do you have between Hendon Hooker and Will Levis?
I've got Levis higher. And let me ask you this, Boggs. So right now, you know, I've got in Superflex, after Bijan, it's three quarterbacks. You know, it's Richardson, it's Stroud, it's Young. And I'm not going to argue with you if you want to reorder those guys. I know not everyone is in love with Anthony Richardson. But however you want to order those three quarterbacks, I'm okay with it. But then where you put Levis and Stroud or Levis and Hooker is kind of interesting. Like, I've still got Levis as like a first rounder in Superflex formats. I've got him 11th overall in Superflex.
I bet you didn't think that after day one that you were going to have him in the first round still.
Right.
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 Even in Superflex, but running backs and wide receivers with some bad spots. So yeah, he's still in there.
Yeah. And then like Hooker, I don't really believe in Hooker. I wanted to like him more earlier. I've got not so much problems with his age or the fact that he's coming off the torn ACL. I mean, like, if he's good, he's going to play.
That sucked. Those two combined suck, but
they do. But I mean, if he's good, he's going to play into his mid-30s. He's going to have a 10-year career, and we're not going to be really worrying about the age thing too much. I'm more worried about, you know, him coming from this Josh Heupel offense where he literally only needed to read half the field. You know, the field was bisected for him. And, you know, it's the same offense. The same Josh Heupel directed offense that tricked people into thinking Drew Locke was an NFL prospect, you know, because when Locke was early in his Missouri career, Heupel was his play caller and like Heupel made Locke look good.
I still think so. Locke to me, he's got a cannon, right? But he just doesn't have between the ears.
Right.
Like even like you can come from a, you know, a QB favorable system and still be a good QB, you know, it's not like, to me, it's not like Stetson Bennett, you know, being surrounded by five stars and wide receivers, you know, just everyone is great. And, you know, yes, you do have to make the plays. You have to make the throws. And Stetson Bennett made some outstanding plays in college, but you know, he was drafted appropriately, I think, you know, and even a little high for most people. I think that's about where he probably should have gone. So I think Hooker's better than that. And I love the landing spot for him, too. I love the landing spot in Detroit because, you know, it's a question on what's going to go on with Goff. And if Goff doesn't put it together this year, he's really going to run out of excuses because you surrounded him with a ton of talent now. So, you know, sure, Jameson is suspended and you let DJ Chark go. But now you have Jahmyr Gibbs. You still have David Montgomery and a strong offensive line and a much improved defense. So, like, Goff is going to have to make it work. And if he doesn't do it, then, I mean, Hendon Hooker is going to be staring him down next year. And it might be a competition. So I do like the landing spot. I'm with you. I have Levis a spot ahead because they just have trash in Tennessee. I thought Malik was way better than he showed last year. You know, and I was kind of convinced that, oh, well, if Tennessee's not trading up, then they maybe still like Malik, but they did trade up day two
and
took Will Levis. So it seems like he's going to be traded and cast out kind of like DeAndre Swift was possibly. But, you know, Tannehill's short. He does not have a long life in the NFL left. I don't even know if he makes it through this year. So Levis should start immediately and just get an opportunity quicker. And he's younger and he has a rocket arm. It's a little Drew Lock-ish, like Drew Lock that can move. For Will Levis. But yeah, I think I have him just slightly ahead of Hooker as well. Is there any other quarterback you want to take a shot on? We ended up with Haener in New Orleans.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Boggs. Let me ask you two questions to wrap up quarterback,
sure.
And then we can move on to running back. First of all, are you interested in drafting Hendon Hooker early in the second round of a super flex draft?
Yes. Yes, I am. Because of the landing spot.
Would you consider him like with pick 112 or would it need to be more like 201, 202, 203?
I think it's probably more in the second round because even with some bad landing spots, I'm still taking Zay and Quentin Johnston and a bunch of wide receivers ahead of him. So, So yeah, I think it would have to be in the second.
And then beyond the top five, the guys, all these day three quarterbacks, any of them interest you at all?
Yeah, I kind of like Clayton Tune going to Arizona, right? And it's not because I'm in love with Clayton Tune or anything. He's fine. But I think there's some opportunity there. And if this new coaching staff drafted you, now you're their guy and you're one of their few guys on the roster. We're going to start the year without Kyler, right? So Colt McCoy, I guess, is going to be their guy for the first chunk of the season. And I love Colt. Colt is one of my favorite all-time Longhorns ever, but he is almost my age. That's not great in the NFL. So when you're a smaller dude like Colt is, you know, it's a new system. You know, maybe he just doesn't have it. I don't know. So I think that there could be an opportunity for Clayton Tune to get on the field as early as this year. And if Kyler is a crybaby like he seemed to be with Cliff Kingsbury, I think Gannon will just push him out and, you know, they'll reset. This team is rebuilding anyway and get a new quarterback next year, and Kyler Murray will be gone. And then it's the question of, are you in a spot good enough to get one of those upper echelon QBs that's coming out next year? Or do you have to do the bridge here? And if Clayton Tune has shown you a little bit, maybe he has a little bit of an opportunity. So I'm not talking like, you know, second round. I'm not taking him there, even in a super flex, probably. We're talking third round and later for Clayton Tune to throw a dart on. But I also like Stetson Bennett going to the Rams. I think it's kind of the same situation. They have no cap room because of all the mistakes they've made. And Matt Stafford is still there, and he's 100. So Stetson Bennett is option B, C, D right now. They got nobody else. So,
right, and he'll be playing for Sean McVay. Stafford's arm might, in fact, be shot. So, yeah, he is kind of vaguely interesting, and Tune runs, right? Although I will say, Boggs, if you know, the Cardinals decide it's not going to be Kyler Murray, they are going to have the ammo to, you know, because they're going to stink. Their pick's going to be early. Yeah.
They're going to be pretty bad.
The Texans' pick is going to be a top 10 that they acquired on Thursday night. So they will definitely have the ammo to go after. It might not be Caleb Williams, but, you know, they could certainly go after Drake May or one of the other QB prospects.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers. Could be up there as well. So, yeah, it already seems like there's going to be some solid. There goes Moro Ojomo. Finally, at pick 249, my Texas tackle to the Eagles there while we're recording this. Sorry. But look, subscribe to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel and comment below on this video, because when you do, you could win a free upgrade, FREE, to Fantasy Pros Premium. Whether you're looking for custom mock drafts, salary cap tools, or in-depth analysis of your fantasy performance, Fantasy Pros has the premium tools to help you win. Unlock the most powerful tools in the industry. Don't want to wait for the giveaway. Sign up today at fantasypros.com/premium and start playing smarter, not harder. All right, let's talk about the RBs. So we've already kind of gone in on Bijan and Gibbs, and we talked about bad landing spots. Let me list them off here for you. Charbonnet to Seattle. Hate it, because Ken Walker's already there. Ken Walker should be the first second down guy. Charbonnet is a change of pace guy, but also probably the goal line guy because he's much bigger than Walker. So hate it. Tyjae Spears to Tennessee. Tennessee, it plans A, B, and C are Derrick Henry. So maybe you want to lighten the load off of him a little bit and give Tyjae, you know, a little bit. But I think what we saw from Dontrell Hilliard the last couple seasons is probably what we're going to get from Tyjae, although he is more explosive than Hilliard. Kendre Miller to the Saints. I mean, maybe. But to me, he's kind of the same type of skill set as Jamal Williams. And, you know, Jamal Williams is already there, and Alvin Kamara has not been suspended yet, although we do expect him to, and obviously the Saints do, by taking a running back. So I didn't like that either. Jacksonville takes Tank Bigsby. Okay, but Travis Etienne is still there, so I don't know who I expect to lead that team in carries now, because Bigsby is your thumper, and Etienne is your guy. Remember, Urban Meyer wanted to move him to wide receiver. So we don't like that landing spot either. Roshan to Chicago. I love Roshan. You love Roshan. Waldman loves him. I don't I didn't hear anyone say negative things about Roschon that I remember. Maybe Russell Brown took a shot at Roschon there. But he ends up in Chicago with one of my other favorite Texas running backs, Deontay Foreman, and Khalil Herbert. So I honestly think he's more of a fullback and a special teamer there. We did have a couple spots that I liked. Zach Evans in L.A. behind Akers. I like that one. I like Chase Brown going to Cincinnati. But then we hit more bumps. Eric Gray to the Giants behind Saquon. Evan Hull to the Colts behind JT. Israel Abanikanda behind Breece Hall and Michael Carter and Bam Knight in New York. Dwayne McBride to Minnesota behind Cook, Madison, Ty Chandler maybe? I don't know. He's fourth there. Deuce Vaughn to Dallas is actually pretty exciting. And Chris Rodriguez to Washington, who is a depth, I guess. I don't know what's happening here. So, I don't know. A couple of nice landing spots, but they were late picks. What do you think about some of these spots? And it is hard to order these guys, Fitz.
Yeah, it is. Boggs, by the way, but before we get into the landing spot, I got to just make one last point about the Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs thing. Like, remember, we'd heard the rumor that there were some teams that had Jahmyr Gibbs ranked ahead of Bijan Robinson, which, you know, of course, we found hard to fathom because we were not on the same page there. The Lions had the sixth pick in the draft. They could have had Bijan. Like, the Lions were one of those teams. They clearly had Gibbs ranked ahead of Bijan.
Okay. You know?
Yeah, but don't you agree that based on their maneuvers on draft night, like, they must have had Gibbs ranked higher than Bijan on their board?
I think that it could have been that. But I also think that they just didn't believe any team was going to take a running back inside the top 10. You know? Because that's kind of the trope. So maybe they thought, these are just nonsense rumors because people like fantasy football, that Atlanta is going to go ahead and take him here. And it didn't happen. By the way, I didn't even mention Devin Achane on the good list,
yes.
I feel like.
Yes.
You called that, to Miami. I text you immediately after he was drafted, and I was in my stream. I said, I got to text Fitz. He called this, like a month ago. So good landing spot there, but... Yeah, I mean, what do you do? I mean, let's start at the top here, Fitz, with Charbonnet, Achane, Spears, Miller, and Tank. Throw Tank in there. He's a third round pick.
So it's funny. I thought we had talked about this on Friday. Like, if Charbonnet had gone to the right spot, you know, a good spot, if he had gone to Cincinnati, where they're likely going to release Joe Mixon. Heck, even if he had gone to Dallas, where he'd be like in a complimentary role with, could be the new Zeke Elliott to, Tony Pollard, the Eagles before they orchestrated the Swift trade, like throw him into that committee where, you know, yes, it's a committee, but he's running behind maybe the best offensive line in football and for a team that's going to score a ton of points. All these good landing spots, and he goes to like one of the worst possible landing spots, a landing spot that devalues not only Charbonnet, but also Kenneth Walker. I mean, this is just terrible for fantasy. So I thought if Charbonnet had gone to one of these good landing spots, I might have put him ahead of Gibbs. I might have had him number two in one QB dynasty leagues behind only
Bijan.
It
was a trendy thing, I feel like, right before the draft happened, too. We didn't hear a lot about it, but I didn't talk to everybody before. But when I talked to my guys, Eric Froton and John Lobb, they both had Charbonnet ahead of Gibbs because Charbonnet is more complete for fantasy. I understand that, but I don't know. Gibbs has got the juice to me.
Our own Thor Nystrom has Charbonnet ranked ahead of Gibbs. So now, I mean, I've almost got in super flex drafts, I've almost got Charbonnet out of the first round. He's a 112 for me. And I've actually right now, I might change my mind on this, but as of now, I have him one spot behind Will Levis in a overall. I mean, just because of the premium placed on the quarterback position and Charbonnet, it's hard to see light at the end of the tunnel for him. Like, especially when you don't want to look too far into the future with running backs, Boggs. I mean, you're more of a short window dynasty player anyway. Like, I don't want to think about the value Charbonnet might have on his second contract if I'm investing in him for dynasty. And this first contract situation is terrible. I mean, Walker is a second year guy, and those guys are going to be shackled together for the next 2 or 3 years. It sucks.
it's a good team move. Like if you're a Seahawks fan, you're like, of course, now we have two good running backs. But yeah, for fantasy, it's brutal. What do you think about just moving down? Let's talk about
Spears.
Let's talk about A-Chain.
Oh, A-Chain.
Let's talk about
A-Chain.
All right.
So you know he's one of my favorite guys. And we were talking about this on the Discord thing on Friday about how I had read that A-Chain had had a visit with Miami and that Miami had shown interest. It's a good spot for him, man. I mean, like,
it is. I think
it's funny. And I heard one well-regarded, widely known fantasy analyst talking about like his projection in year one for A-Chain, and I was shocked at how low the projection was. It was like 17 catches, you know, like barely any usage in the running game. Like, no, they didn't just bring A-Chain in to return kicks, you know, with a day two pick. And dude, Raheem Mostert is 31 and he's made out of, you know, paper mache.
Right.
Jeff Wilson, I mean, is like the walking definition of an average NFL running back, which is like, I don't want to rip him. I mean, like if you, and there have been circumstances.
These guys made it work.
Yeah.
They made it work.
Jeff Wilson has had situations where he's been, you know, due to injury or whatever, the lead running back against an average defense. And heck, I mean, I've ranked him as a running back one in weekly rankings in the right situation because he's decent, but he's not special. You know, and
yeah,
like those guys are going to have roles for sure if they're healthy. I like Salvon Ahmed, who I don't think is terrible. I mean, goodbye, Salvon. I mean, A-Chain is absolutely taking your job, and I think he's probably shoving Miles Gaskin out of the way, too.
Well, I think for me, the reason why I really like this landing spot in Miami, even though that people are going to look at it and go, well, three-headed monster now. I think A-Chain gets first run, don't you? Because he's explosive, he's slippery, and you know, you would rather have your bigger backs running in the fourth quarter through arm tackles, because A-Chain's not running through arm tackles. Yeah, he'll break more than you would think for a smaller guy, but that's not his forte. His forte is to run past you because he has Olympic level speed, right? So I think you give him the ball first in Miami, because if he makes an explosive play or two, now the defenses are going to key on him a little bit more, maybe take a step or two closer to the line, and you have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle over the top to take advantage of that. Now, on the reverse of that, if you hit them early with the passes, now you give A-Chain a little bit more wiggle room. So I think by the end of the season, A-Chain is the lead back here. I think you would agree with me too, right?
I do. Well, I mean, I think it's going to be a committee, Boggs. I really do. Like, I mean,
it will be a committee, but I think he'll lead it by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll lead it, but I think his usage is going to be tilted towards passing downs. Like, I would expect that A-Chain is going to be averaging, you know, 6 to 7 carries a game. But I think he's going to be averaging, you know, like 4 to 5 or 6 targets a game. And like, this is a dude who just get him 10 touches and he's going to be fantasy relevant because he's going to hit some home runs. And man, in this offense, I just love that he is going to, you know, this situation. Like, it's a great, put him in an exciting, speed-driven offense with a good play caller, and good things are going to happen. Like, I'm really happy with this landing spot for him.
And in a couple injuries, and he starts to get big volume, and now
where's he in your rookie?
Yeah, we're really
where's he in your rookie running back rankings, Boggs?
He's going to be fourth for me. I got Bijan, Jameer, Charbonnet, and then A-Chain. So, and I was not that high on him coming in either, because he's a smaller guy. And there are guys here that can tote the rock 15, 20 times that did not go to situations where they will tote the rock 15, 20 times, and even in year one or two. So, you know, I just didn't like it. And those guys, the other day, two guys here, Fitz, were Spears, Miller, and Bigsby. Who out of that group do you still like? I feel like they all kind of took hits.
I've got, like, I don't think Spears took a hit. I had Spears ranked just ahead of A-Chain, right? And now I've still got Spears actually just ahead of A-Chain, which is weird that you've actually now got A-Chain higher than I have him ranked. But I think it's a good landing spot for Spears.
Shorter window.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all about the shorter window and how we look at things.
It just seems like Kamara might be reaching the end. We know he's probably going to serve a suspension. I think, you know, Jamal Williams for, you know, despite the 17 touchdowns or whatever, I think is just kind of a guy. So I think there's a path for Spears to be the lead guy in New Orleans. And that's just the thing. Like, I don't think Achane's ever going to have traditional lead back usage. And Spears, I think, has a chance to have that. That's pretty much the only reason why I have Spears ranked higher. You mentioned Miller. I'm intrigued by Miller right now. I've got him in super flex formats as like kind of a mid second round guy. And who's the other guy? Bigsby. I don't love Tank Bigsby. So I
understand that he kind of has a weird, he seems almost like a tweener, right? Like he has some moves to stack, but he's big too, but he outmaneuvers guys instead of outmuscling them sometimes, which is kind of weird for a man of his size. So he's an odd running back to kind of break down and watch, I feel like. But
and with ETN there, he's not going to be a passing down guy at all. And, you know, ETN's still probably going to get some of the early down work.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I think this is like a switch off kind of a situation for these two guys, which is why, like, it doesn't kill Bigsby to me. It actually probably hurts ETN more than anything, right? Like, because ETN is a guy where you draft a guy like Bigsby to take some pressure off of ETN. You don't want him carrying the ball so many times because his first year in the NFL, we didn't get to see him because he broke his foot, right? So he's a little more fragile, just a smaller built guy than these other dudes. So, my order as of right now would be Charbonnet, Achane, Spears, Miller, Bigsby. So we'll see. Let's go to the day two guys here, Fitz. Who do you like out of the group? Because I'll tell you who I like. I like Evans and I like Brown because of the situation. After that, these guys in the bad situations, I kind of put them in the order I wanted to outside of McBride. I still have low because he's a seventh round pick. I mean, you don't perform well in camp as a seventh round pick and you're out. So that's kind of, you know, it's a stigma that goes on these guys. But I like Brown to Cincinnati because they might cut Joe Mixon and they don't have anybody else. And this guy has carried a gigantic workload at Illinois before, so we know he can do it. Zach Evans with the Rams should be there behind Akers, but Akers has been weird. So there's a little bit of that. I hate Eric Gray's landing spot, even though I like him to the Giants because Saquon is the guy there. Same thing with Evan Hull to the Colts. And Israel Abanikanda is not a... He's not a guy that you ever thought was going to have 20, 30 carries, but now he's kind of nothing behind those top three guys with the Jets, McBride to Minnesota, Deuce Vaughn to Dallas is actually kind of okay. And I'm not the biggest fan of Chris Rodriguez. We had a couple other trickle in as we're doing this. Lou Nichols went to your Green Bay Packers. And I think there was one other running back late here that I'll figure out. But who do you like out of the day three guys?
You said it, Chase Brown, him going to the Bengals where he has, you know, might have a shot to be a lead guy. It's pretty good. Like, I did not hate the Evan Hull landing spot, Boggs. I didn't, because he's going to be a third down back, and that's what he was always going to be. And I think that, you know, even though they're going to play Jonathan Taylor on non-obvious passing downs, Hull is going to be the guy. And like, it's not that, you know, they're making it a committee, but I mean, when Jonathan Taylor was at Wisconsin, Dare Ogunbowale was like the third down back. They had to spare Taylor somewhere because he was getting 30 carries a game. Like, if they played him on third downs too, the guy would have like been, you know, exhausted. So I think there's like room, and then he's kind of an insurance policy. Like, I think he could be an early down guy in a pinch if, you know, Taylor got nicked up or something. So I'm not bummed that Hull went there, not bummed like I am with Abanikanda, who is just like, you know, at the bottom of a loaded depth chart.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, with Hull and even Gray, it's like, okay, well, at least they're two. Anything happens, they're definitely two. So I'm with you on that. Abanikanda, who knows?
Yeah. You know? And really, I mean, I don't know who else we have to talk about, man. Like, I'm okay with Bigsby. I'm okay with Roshan. Like, you know, Roshan will be part of that committee, most likely. So I don't mind him. It's like
he can at least earn a role.
Yeah, like I could still see taking him in the back end of the second round of a one QB league, perhaps.
Sure. Yeah.
That's it. I'm just getting depressed with these running back spots, Boggs. So let's talk about the wide receivers.
Yeah, let's go. You know, it's an argument for you and I at the top. I like Addison. You like JSN. But I'm nothing changed for us after where their landing spot, because I had Addison at one anyway, and you had JSN at one. So none of that switches for us. Let's talk about beyond those guys. Quentin Johnston going to the Chargers. All right. Zay Flowers going to Baltimore. We don't throw the ball that much. Okay. After that, we didn't have, you know, hardly any guys on the second day. No one you'd expect. Jalin Hyatt went to the Giants. Josh Downs to the Colts. Jaden Reed to the Packers. Rashee Rice to Kansas City. Jonathan Mingo to Carolina. Cedric Tillman to Cleveland. Mims to Denver was weird. Tank Dell to Houston. Third rounder. Michael Wilson to Arizona. So those are your day two guys and day one guys. I mean, Quentin Johnston versus Zay Flowers. Where are you going there, Fitz?
I've been really torn on this, man, and I've toggled them back and forth. As of now, I've got Zay Flowers one spot ahead of Quentin Johnston, and I'm not sure I'm going to keep it that way, honestly. I mean, I'll be honest. We talked about this a little before the show. I've still got JSN as my number one, and I'm not going to waver on that. But you could pretty much talk me into ordering the other three guys any which way. I mean, clearly, you know, you like Addison the most out of Addison, Flowers, and Johnston. I agree. I've got
by a wide margin.
I've got Addison number
for me over those other two.
I've got Addison number two, but behind JSN. But then Flowers versus Johnston is like a debate for me. And I've got all those guys in super flex drafts. I've got them from sixth overall to ninth overall, like all in a row.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't put together my overall yet, but just in terms of the position, Addison for me, JSN is two. And to me, they're like their own tier. I have Quentin Johnston over Zay Flowers just for the simple fact of I think that Justin Herbert's going to throw the ball more than Lamar Jackson is over their careers, right? So, you know, Keenan Allen's not long for the NFL, maybe two more years. Mike Williams seems like he might be cooked with LA after this season. So Johnson moves into a premium role next year. Zay Flowers could be the number one this year, but that's a run first team. So, and I know that our boy D-Bro on the Discord talked about how Todd Monken's coming in. He likes a quick pace, which may be more plays, but doesn't mean they're all going to be passing plays, especially if they're winning at the end. Those are going to be run plays for the Ravens. So we'll see what happens there.
Let me give you my 5 through 10 and you can give me your, and I'll just do a quick comment on each guy and you can give me your tags.
Sure.
All right. So at five, I've actually got, and now, so after number four, I've got Quentin Johnston at number 9 overall in Superflex. It goes all the way down to 19 overall, where I've got Josh Downs. You know, a good landing spot, I think, with Indy. He's going to walk right in and be the throw Isaiah McKenzie aside to be the slot receiver in Indy, you know, and for Anthony Richardson eventually. So, yeah, I just like I like Downs. I think he's a pretty high floor prospect, like a Jamison Crowder plus.
I've got him at 6. Okay. So I have one guy higher than Downs.
I mean, I liked Mingo a lot coming in. I sort of suspected he was going to go a lot earlier than people thought. And I don't hate the landing spot. So I've got him at wide receiver 6. I'll just throw out.
I've got Mingo at 9.
Okay. Yeah. See, I like him more than a lot. Like he's just so physical after the catch, and just like I like how his game is. I think he's kind of a poor man's Anquan Boldin.
I understand it. You know, it's just they have Thielen, they have Chark, And then, so Mingo this year is probably going to be your third.
Thielen is dust, you know. Boggs. Thielen is dust. All right. So, wide receiver.
Ageist. This ageist over ageist. Here. I got you.
Wide receiver 7, Marvin Mims. Yes, that was weird, but we know, like, you know, there were rumors all offseason that Denver was trying to trade either, Jerry Jeudy or Cortland Sutton. And going to a Sean Payton offense. And like the guy was a playmaker. I was sort of a little bit on the fence with him, but I was encouraged by the draft capital.
He's not in my top 10. And that's not Oklahoma hate. That's not Marvin Mims hate. That is situational hate. I despise this landing spot because, yeah, they talked about how they wanted to trade Jeudy or Sutton, but they didn't do it. I mean, Sutton is signed for a while. It's going to be hard to trade him. So they're going to have to cut him. If they want to do anything there, and he's Jeudy is the better of those two, so I think they're going to be there for a while. So Mims to me is third. Also, Tim Patrick is coming back off his ACL. They signed Marquez Callaway. They signed LJ Humphrey. They traded for Adam Trautman today. Like they're trying to put the Saints 2.0 together over there. I don't know what's happening. So I don't know. It's just there's too much traffic, and there's a lot with Sean Payton. There's a lot of specialized roles in that offense, and I'm afraid of him getting caught in a specialized role and not being an every snap wide receiver, which is what we want to see him. If I knew he was going to have that, I'd have him way higher. But yeah, he's 11 for me, so just slightly outside of my top 10.
Fair. Number 8 for me is Rashee Rice. Obviously the
so 8.
So he's 8 going to Kansas City. I mean, we have to like that, right? And I do have some reservations about Rice being sort of a contested catch artist. That's not like a foolproof path to NFL stardom, you know. And
look at N'Keal Henry.
Yeah, and only 1 year of really premium production, although it was a heck of a year for him in his final season at SMU. And then he's
a great player. You don't have to be a contested catch guy when you have Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball to you. So that's why I'm higher on him than a couple of those other guys. So because of the quarterback. So and they needed a size guy because MVS didn't put it together. So
and then I'm going to go 9 and 10 with the 2 Tennessee guys, Hyatt and then Tillman. I don't like the landing spot for Tillman, man. Cleveland. And then, it's just like you're behind Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and Elijah Moore. That's kind of tough. So, and by the way, the guy who like I didn't really have that much on my radar, he might have been like my wide receiver 18 pre-draft or something. And now I'm really intrigued by is Michael Wilson. We know he couldn't stay healthy. That was a big issue. This guy has been like, he's had 2 Jones fractures in his foot like that. You know, maybe he's basically Michael Thomas coming into the league with all these foot problems. And then like his 2022 season ended after 6 games due to an undisclosed injury. And Boggs, I like tried looking for this injury everywhere and it was not reported what it was. So like,
yeah,
big issues, but this dude is like, I mean, he is a max effort guy and like really devoted to his craft. Like if he can stay healthy and going to a team where there are going to be targets available, assuming they get rid of DeAndre Hopkins as they want to do, just a really intriguing guy. And I think you'll be able to get him in like the 3rd round of drafts.
It's a fascinating spot. I mean, a fascinating spot for him to go to Arizona, right? Because like you said, yeah, Hopkins wasn't traded during the draft, probably going to get traded, you'd hope, before the season starts. But still, Marquise Brown, Greg Dortch was so good there last year. I think he'll prove himself. Rondell Moore, I don't know about Rondell Moore. We'll see what happens with him. So Wilson, I have him at, I think, 12. Because the draft capital, I mean, taking day 2. Which was weird, but I mean, that says something. You know, it's kind of a crutch argument to depend on that specifically. That kind of says something. I got Hyatt at 5. I love the landing spot. I love the landing spot because I just think about the middle of that field, right? You have Hyatt playing in the slot. You have Darren Waller in line, and you have Saquon coming out of the backfield. Like, you know, if he gets one-on-one on a slower corner, he is going to dust that guy. So I am excited about the big play potential for Jalen Hyatt. And I'm with you. I've got Tillman down at 10 because I hate the landing spot because it's going to be DPJ versus Tillman, and DPJ is a crusty vet, so it may take Tillman a little bit to beat him in practice and stuff, and really earn that role. Now, you're learning from Amari Cooper and DPJ, a couple size guys. Great to get there and learn from those guys. But I don't know. Weird landing spot. You like Michael Wilson. I tell you what, the landing spots I like for some of these guys, I like Dellen Houston. There's opportunity there. I like Haishon Butte in New England. You know, once you're in New England, who cares where you were drafted? You're there, right? So draft capital doesn't really matter to them. So I like that spot. I like Xavier Hutchinson in Houston, too. Like we said, opportunity. Trey Palmer in Tampa Bay is nice. And I think A.T. Perry in New Orleans is pretty nice. The rest of it, I don't know, man.
Some of those guys are late. Like, I'm intrigued by guys like Hutchinson and A.T. Perry, but they went just so late that the, you know, the
you could get cut.
Yeah, the actuarial tables on those guys are not too promising just with, I don't know. It's just like, you get drafted that late, your odds aren't that great. Dell, I mean, I was just kind of out on Dell when he did not light it. I told you I thought his 40 time at the combine at his size was almost disqualifying. So, yeah, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one, Boggs. And I'm very intrigued by Booty also. Like,
Dude,
if he can recapture what he showed us at the end of that 2020 freshman year, when he ended with three straight 100-yard games, including a 308-yard game against Ole Miss, and then was lighting it up as a sophomore in the first six games before he, you know, had a season-ending injury. Like, I'm not going to ding the guy too much for not being able to get along with Brian Kelly, who I despise myself. So, you know, I know there were character questions, but man, if Belichick drafted him, like, that's pretty reassuring, man. Like for,
well, we'll find out quickly. That's for sure. Because if he comes in with all kinds of attitude, Belichick will just cut him and, you know, not look okay. We wasted a pick. We acquired way more.
Right.
We're fine. We take shots in New England, so that's fine. Real quick on on tight ends here, Fitzy. I mean, good landing spots for the top guys here. Kincaid, Mayer, Laporta, all great. I question your Packers because I love Musgrave, but they drafted Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. I don't like that because it feels very Baltimore Ravens when they took Hayden Hurst early and then took Mark Andrews later. One of these guys can block, one of them can't. So I feel like Musgrave might get Hayden Hurst here. Hayden Hursted, I guess, would be the word. Because Tucker Kraft is now your big slot guy. And Musgrave is going to inline block, so he might be on the field more, but might not see as many targets as Kraft. So that was kind of my big thing with the tight ends. I mean, Darnell Washington, I love in Pittsburgh, but for fantasy, especially with the knee, the rest of these guys are all kind of, you know, they're late, late picks. Even in tight end premium, probably for most of them. So your quick thoughts on the tight ends before we go.
You know, I'm a Jake Ferguson truther, but I am sort of intrigued by Luke Schoonmaker going to the Cowboys because we talked to Matt.
Kind of like the better version of Ferguson, feel like.
Yeah, and Matt Waldman loves Schoonmaker. So, I mean, he could be a sleeper for sure, someone to consider. I agree with you on maybe it's just because Musgrave had the injury issues in college that they felt like they couldn't put all their eggs in the Musgrave basket, because I mean that basket is barren for the Packers at tight end. So they did need a draft two, and they got two good ones, so I don't have a big issue with it. You know, like I still like Mayer. I think, you know, the lower draft couple knocks him down a bit, but Boggs, let's go
good spot.
And you know, Laporta, I know Thor was delighted to see Laporta get that sort of draft capital. And now, I mean, he has a chance to be a pretty significant contributor right away with that Jameson Williams six-game suspension sort of maybe ramping up Laporta's target count right away. So we like that. Boggs, let's go out by talking about how early Dalton Kincaid should be drafted in rookie drafts.
Okay. For me, I think Kincaid can go as early. We're talking, are we doing super flex one QB?
Let's say super flex.
Okay, so you have the top three QBs, Bijan, Gibbs. I still think I take Charbonnet ahead of him. I take Addison, JSN, Quentin, and Zay ahead of him, and then Kincaid.
I'm taking him ahead of Charbonnet. Right now, I've got him number 10 overall, right behind the first round receivers. So I guess that means I would take him, seventh overall in a 1QB?
Seventh overall?
And I almost think that's being conservative, man. Like,
I don't hate it, but I don't think that Dawson Knox completely goes away. That's my one little tiny issue with Kincaid, is that I don't think that Knox just falls off the planet. Great that Buffalo didn't draft another wideout, right? They're going to try Khalil Shakir, I guess. So
I like that. I'm
because Gabe Davis was not good. Yeah, yeah, we like
Khalil Shakir. Yes, we do, man. He is, he's going to be the new and improved Isaiah McKenzie.
Right, and there's a ton of guys that actually ended up with a better spot post-draft than pre-draft that are already on rosters because the teams didn't take someone in front of them, so they're getting a shot like Khalil Shakir. So interesting there. But that is going to wrap it up for us today on the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Podcast. Remember, please, if you guys like what we're doing here, just subscribe. Just drop us a like, leave a comment, subscribe to our content. Click the bell to get notified on all of our latest podcasts, live streams, short videos, anything that we have coming out. Please do that. Follow us on Twitter at Bogman Sports for myself, at Fitz_FF for Pat, and we will see you guys later this week. Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.